in the Gospel. It's taken from that according to St. John chapter 16. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Now I am going to him who sent me, and no one of you asks me, where art thou? Where art thou going? But because I have spoken to you these things, sadness has filled your heart. But I speak the truth to you. It is expedient for you that I depart. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of justice and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of justice, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. The prince of this world has already been judged. Many things yet I have to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will teach you all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he will hear, he will speak. And the things that are to come, he will declare to you. He will glorify me, because he will receive of what is mine and declare it to you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So in the epistle today, "Dearly beloved, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights." And a consideration today on a virtue that we often perhaps don't think of as a virtue, but we think of it as simply a part of life, but it in fact is a virtue, the virtue of gratitude. It's one of the many virtues that we are supposed to practice. So we'll consider here a little bit this virtue of gratitude and the things for which we should be grateful. Now, gratitude is the product or an effect of two other virtues. Actually, several other virtues. The virtue of humility. One of the effects of humility, one of its signs, is gratitude. We realize that we have no value in ourselves and that everything is a gift of God. Then a natural effect of humility is a rendering back of thanks to God. And so it is an effect of humility. It is also an essential part of the virtue of religion. It's so essential to religion, and St. Thomas Aquinas, in his discussion on the virtue of gratitude, says, "Many say that gratitude is not a special virtue, but it is actually all that it is a part of the virtue of religion. For it is essential when we give glory to God to give Him thanks. And we can summarize all of our activities in relation to God in giving thanks. And therefore, it is simply a part of religion and not a special virtue." And others say that gratitude is essentially a part of piety, and therefore it is not a virtue unto itself. For piety tells us to honor and obey and respect our fathers. First of all, God the Father, and therefore religion. Secondly, the Holy Father and the bishops and the priests of the church. Thirdly, the father of our country, the president, and so on. And then lastly, the father of our families, those that give us life. And that our natural attitude towards our father, whether it be God or the Pope, the bishops and the priests, the country, our own father, is gratitude. And therefore, it is not a different virtue from piety. And others say that it is the same as the virtue of observance, which is a virtue we do not hear very much about. An observance is that virtue which makes us respect those in authority. Observance is a very carefully followed virtue in the military. Whenever a superior officer walks by, the inferior salutes. And that is observance, to show a sign of respect to those who have dignity in themselves. We stand when a priest comes into the room. That is observance. We genuflect in front of the tabernacle because it is God who is in the tabernacle. That also is observance. And so observance is that virtue which makes us respect the presence of a dignity. It is the reason for all the ceremonies of the church. They are all practicing the virtue of observance. Now, the natural attitude of observance when we stand before God in the tabernacle or when we stand before any superior, says some of these saints and theologians, is to be grateful. Therefore, gratitude is not a different virtue than observance, nor piety, nor religion. And further, say some of these saints and theologians, it is simply the effect or the fruit of humility. Now, the fruit of something is not a virtue. It is simply the effect of virtue. And so, therefore, gratitude is not a virtue. And so, St. Thomas Aquinas responds, yes, gratitude is in works itself throughout religion. It is found throughout piety. It is found throughout observance. It is the natural effect of humility. This is true. But it is also a sacred and separate virtue unto itself. For gratitude, for piety and observance and religion refer to what we do before God. And gratitude refers to what we do after. That which takes place before is one thing, and that which takes place after is another. Now, before God, we ask and we adore and we make acts of reparation for our sins. Before our superiors, we behave in a certain manner. But when we see that we have received good, then there is something we must do yet. It is not enough to say that we have received good from another, but we must do something in return. It is the action that follows after. And this action that follows after the receiving of good things, we call the virtue of gratitude. Gratitude is an essential virtue to supernatural life. Those that are of the house of God always are grateful. And it is also one of the signs of sanctity. I said there are several signs of sanctity. One sign is the spirit of joy. When someone has very high in sanctity, they have simply a spirit of joy. Joy is that fruit which is the effect of the presence of the one that we love. And since the one that we love is in our hearts, there is joy. And it just simply happens. All saints are joyful. It's one of the signs of sanctity. As St. Teresa of the Child of Avila would say, there is no such thing as a sad saint. But another sign of sanctity is gratitude. St. Paul would show this sign when he would say, all things are unto good to those that are of the household of the faith. All things. He was grateful. Thrice I was shipwrecked. A day and the night in the sea, thrice stoned, had to be let over the wall in a basket. And for all of these things, he gloried. He was grateful for every one of these things. I will glory in my infirmities, says St. Paul. He was grateful for his infirmities. Gratitude is a hallmark of sanctity. And if we work on striving to attain this virtue, we will find that it is necessary to practice all kinds of other virtues. It brings with it the whole of the supernatural life. We are in a society which is essentially ungrateful. St. Thomas asked the question, is it always a sin to be ungrateful? And the answer is yes. It is at least a venial sin, and often a mortal sin, but it is always a sin to be ungrateful. Gratitude is necessary for life. Now, it is a part of the larger virtue of justice. You know, there are four cardinal virtues: prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. And all of the other virtues that are about people, that are about means or society, hang upon one of these four virtues. And gratitude is connected to the virtue of justice. It is not connected to the virtue of charity, but rather to the virtue of justice. Charity has to do with love. Justice has to do with giving to another what is his due. And there is a certain obligation to return thanks for any gift. And therefore, it is a part of justice, as is religion and piety and observance. Those are all parts of justice. And so likewise, gratitude is a part of justice. When we realize that gratitude is an obligation of justice, we will no longer believe that it is something that we can do as an extra. It is necessary that we be grateful. And for what things are we grateful? Now, St. Thomas says there are two kinds of souls that are grateful: the innocent and the penitent. Those who have never committed great sins and have been abstained, have been preserved from sin, these should be grateful to God. And then the penitent, those that have returned from sin. Which of these should have the greater gratitude? And St. Thomas says both. Both must have the greater gratitude. First of all, the innocent. The innocent must be more grateful than the penitent, because he has received a greater quantity of blessings. God has given more graces to the innocent than he did to those whom he has forgiven. For it takes the great grace of God to preserve us from sin. Very often we believe that we are not worthy, we do not have to be grateful. And this was the sin of the elder son, or the brother of the prodigal son. I have been here all these years, he said, and you have not killed for me the fatted calf. You have never made a feast for me. And my younger brother, who has been in sin and lived and squandered himself with the harlots, he comes back and there is a great feast. You have one big party for a son that has gone away, and you never had a big party for me. And the father says to the son, behold, all I have is thine. You dine with me every single day. All of my possessions are yours. The prodigal son is only getting this feast after all these many years. You have much more to be grateful for than the prodigal son, as to the quantity of graces given. And he didn't even realize it. He too had to be forgiven. Unfortunately, we find, says St. Thomas Aquinas, that the innocent are noted often for ingratitude, because they believe that their good comes from themselves. I was faithful. I never abandoned you. St. Philip Neri and St. Alphonsus Liguori were asked, each of them separately, look at those horrible Muslims. Look at how they're destroying and attacking Europe and all the crimes that they are committing. Look at how bad they are. And St. Philip Neri and St. Alphonsus Liguori both would respond, but for the grace of God, there go I. I am no better than the worst enemies of God. The only thing that makes me better is His infinite grace. He has decided to give me the gift of faith. He has decided to preserve me from these horrible sins. And therefore, my attitude in relation to God should be one of infinite gratitude. And I should have more gratitude than those who have been forgiven. Such were the words of St. Philip Neri and St. Alphonsus Liguori. As to the quantity of the gifts, the innocent receive more than the guilty, and therefore they should be more grateful. But then St. Thomas Aquinas goes on, and the penitent, those who are forgiven, they should be more grateful than the innocent. So we just said the innocent should be more grateful than the guilty. And now the guilty should be more grateful than the innocent. And they should be more grateful to the innocent as to the freeness or the gratuitousness of the gift. They were less deserving of the gift of the forgiveness of God. Less deserving of His continuation in His love of them. And therefore they should have a greater gift. As it says in the Gospel, Mary Magdalene has been forgiven because she has loved much. And she was forgiven more, loves more, and therefore has a greater gratitude. Because they were further away from God. And hence, there is a greater gift as to the freeness of the gift. But with the innocent, there are more gifts. The saints tell us time and time again, thank God every day for your faith. We do not deserve the faith that He gave us. We do not deserve the Holy Eucharist. We do not deserve the Church. We don't deserve the sacraments. We do not deserve the love of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And these things have been given to us. We should be grateful. Every day we should rise from sleep and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all of the infinite gifts that you have given me. Not only the supernatural gifts of grace, but also the gift of health. And the gift of our mind and our will. The gift of our possessions. The gift of the protection, the gift of friends. Every one of these things is a gift of God. And if we open our eyes with supernatural eyes of faith, we will see as we look around us that there is only reason for thanksgiving. All things are unto good to those that are of the household of the faith. What about evil? What about suffering? What about difficulties? Earlier this week, on Monday, I met with the county head honcho, Mr. Steve Byer. Came out here to St. Isidore's. We weren't ready for him yet, but somebody turned us in. Probably one of you sitting in the pews today. Somebody turned us in. It wasn't the first time that we were turned in. Probably will not be the last. But he came with his little inspector with him. We met on Monday. He gave me a piece of paper. Well, you realize that you're using this building without having a little piece of paper called a CO, a Certificate of Occupancy. Well, we're going to give you 30 days. That's from May the 12th, this last Monday, until June the 12th, not so far from now, in which you can meet some requirements. You can call some final inspections. We, of course, have had many inspections from the beginning of the project to now, but not the final inspections because we didn't have the funds to be prepared for them, particularly the exterior work, the parking lot, $80,000. The trees need to be done outside. We didn't have the funds to do it, so we were not able to call final inspections. And so, we just kept going forward. Without the funds to be able to finish all the things that the county required, we've been working on in the last year and a half. So the day of reckoning has come. So he shows up on Monday, gives me a little piece of paper. In 30 days you have met the requirements, or we lock your doors. Always wanted to have Mass in the parking lot. We did our first Mass out here in the parking lot. It also is interesting how divine providence works. I was meditating on these things. My first reaction was to be angry and upset. And also had the privilege this week of preaching a virtues retreat. We treat this time of year, every year, and it's providence at work. And then went through all the other times that we were turned in. Now, the first time was August the 17th, 2001. The day before August 18th, the day before the consecration, the fire department officials came out here. The county inspectors came out. And they stood out in the front of the church there. You can't use this building tomorrow. I said, well, it's being consecrated. I've got about 1,000 people here for the ceremony. There's a bishop that came over from Switzerland. The church is going to be consecrated tomorrow. He said, well, you can consecrate the parking lot. I said, well, it's pretty holy right now. I'm standing on it. So we went for a walk around the building. And we went through the building. He says, well, you know, you can't do this. This is wrong. I said, well, you know, we are trying to meet all of your requirements. We just don't have the means to be able to accomplish all of it yet. We've been heading in the direction of meeting all of your requirements. But tomorrow there's going to be the consecration of the church, and you're just going to have to accept that. We prepared for all kinds of things. We even have an ambulance coming. Is there going to be an ambulance here? There's going to be nurses and doctors, and we're going to set up a little hospital in case somebody faints because of the incense or something. We walked through the entire building, and they began to get nervous. So they disappeared, and the next day we had no troubles. But they showed up the day before. They showed up twice since then. The last time was last year. Last year on the Thursday of the vocation retreat, the vocation retreatants, we had prepared for a month the basement to get it ready so that it could be used for the vocation retreat. We were going to have a little kitchen down there, and they were going to do their classes up here in the choir loft and do their work down there. 26 men thinking about entering the religious life. Now, if they had turned us in earlier, then we would have been able to change things. But it wasn't until the Thursday, the day that I was driving up here. I was in Colorado Springs in my car, just south of Colorado Springs. And the fire officials and the inspectors showed up. They went down in the basement and said, you can't. And I got a call 2 hours away. We were on the way to Mother Cabrini Shrine first. So Dave calls and says, well, looks like the inspectors are here. They say we have to tear everything out. So someone's trying to stop the vocation retreat. I said, well, we went up to the top of the mountain in front of Mother Cabrini. It seemed we had no place for the young men to go. We were in the middle of the retreat. So I told them, I said, well, you know, Our Lady, the Mother Cabrini is going to have to take care of us. We are not stopping the retreat because of a few fools. So that night, we did an all-nighter. Some of the workers here in the church, we ripped out the red shed on Gene's property there, and we cleaned it up to be able to use it with his permission, and the retreat happened. May the 12th was the day of the meeting. Now, June the 12th is 30 days, the 30th day, and it happens to be the exact day that we'll be driving up again with the vocation retreatants, which is very interesting. The timing of all of these things has been exact. It has been precise every time. Bishop Williamson will be coming to do confirmations on June 15th. Maybe we'll have confirmations out in the parking lot. So Bishop Williamson's coming down. First time Bishop Fillet was coming down. We have $200 in all of our accounts because in order to prepare for the May 12th coming of the inspector, we had a few days warning. We did some extra work, so we spent more money than what we have. All the school money, all the church money, it's all gone. And we still don't have what we need to be ready for June the 12th. So the inspectors came on Friday. I was meditating on these things during the course of the week. And in reading St. Thomas Aquinas and the virtue of gratitude, the saints say that what is the correct response to these things? And I've also mentioned to you before, when you stub your toe, it's thank you, Lord. Every one of these things is a gift. They are all gifts. We cannot be afraid of men. We fear only God. And God sends gifts by names which we would call sometimes trials and tribulations. But if we look a little bit deeper, we see a reason for gratitude. Turns out the final inspections were able to be called earlier than we were able, than we would have been ready. So they were called ahead of schedule. Turns out the inspections went relatively well there a couple of days ago. Though we still need the funds to be able to prepare for it. But some things we no longer have to do, which we thought we had to do. Of course, they've made us do many crazy things, such as that beautiful blue water tank that's out there that fulfills no purpose whatsoever, other than the fact that it's beautiful and blue and costs $150,000. Other than that, I can't think of any use for it. But we put it up because they made us do it. And so, we have met many of their requirements. Not all, but many. And it turns out that being turned in was the best thing that could have happened. I asked Our Lady for a couple of weeks ago for a special sign. And we will be able to be blessed. And God has chosen trials as the sign. So we have much to be grateful for. We only have a few days between now and June the 12th. It's also my little brother Jimmy's birthday, youngest brother. It's also the feast of St. Anthony of Padua. It's also one of the great feast days of the life of Sister Lucy. She said it was her favorite feast day. It was the feast of St. Anthony. So a little indirect connection to Our Lady of Fatima. So we will be ready. Right now we have $200 in the bank. That's all right. We have to buy some steel, redo some steps. Going up the steps of the choir loft, they discovered that one of the steps was 1/16 of an inch too tall. And the inspector was just beside himself. How could this be? You're allowed a 3/8 inch tolerance, and this is 1/16 of an inch too tall. You have to tear the entire steps out and redo them. Maybe we can't lift our feet higher than 1/16 of an inch. Well, we will not be discouraged by this foolishness. God will provide. It is a reason for gratitude. We go to the example of St. Joseph. Not the St. Joseph of the New Testament, but the St. Joseph of the Old Testament. Now, St. Joseph of the Old Testament, he was the beloved of his father. And for that reason, his 11 brothers hated him. Especially the 10 of them, besides Benjamin. And one day they saw him walking across the desert to meet them a far away, away from his father's house. There is the dreamer. Let's kill him. And we will say that beasts came and they have devoured him. And they took the dreamer and they were, and Reuben said to them, if we kill him, then we will have shed the blood of our own brother. Let's find another way of killing him. Throw him into this well. And so they threw him into a well. And after a period of time, slave sellers came by. And they sold Joseph into slavery. And we find as we travel through the story of St. Joseph of the Old Testament, if his brothers had not hated him, the Jews would have died. It was the condition of their salvation. If the brothers had loved Joseph, they would not have thrown him in the well. They wouldn't have sold him into slavery. He would not have become the second man in Egypt after the Pharaoh. He would not have been able to prepare for the 7 years of famine. He would not have saved the Jewish people. Their hate was the condition. And so we find that St. Joseph was always grateful for each thing that happened to him. When he was thrown in prison, it was the condition for him becoming the assistant to the Pharaoh. Every single action of his life was a condition for some greater blessing. And so we see little Gestapo agents coming in from Arapahoe County with the swastikas on their arms. They are the condition for accomplishing things that we thought we couldn't accomplish. And so we are grateful. And in closing, before going to the consideration of Our Lady, we'll say that we do need, we have $200 in all of our bank accounts. That's school, and we've told everything. And if anybody at the altar and rosary has money, and if the Holy Name has money, it needs to be given to me today. So that we will have no money in our bank account tomorrow. We have to be able to put up handrails the way they want and move the steps around because they're 16ths of an inch off and so on. Although, as a blessing, they told us that we are nothing compared to Our Lady of Loretto, which has just got approved down here at the Novus Ordo Church down the road. So they trashed them up one side and down the other. And then they gave them a temporary CO and let them come in, but they have now about 100 and something points they have to fix, whereas we have much less than that. So, we will have the things done. Do not want to have a temporary certificate of occupancy on June the 12th, but to take this as a sign from Providence that we can have the complete certificate of occupancy by June the 12th. That requires your help. So I will give you thanks in advance for giving all the money that is in your check accounts into the second collection today. God will provide. I've spent all of my money. God will give it back when He chooses. We do need to be ready for the confirmations. It will be better if we can have the confirmations in this building rather than on the parking lot. Would be better. But we need to fulfill a few things. And not as many as we thought. There's $150,000 worth of work that we don't have to do. So we need to thank God for that. But we need some help to be able to just buy metal and buy tile and buy grout tomorrow morning so that we can work. We did get approval from Kansas City to get a loan for $250,000, but that won't come through for another 20 or 30 days or so. And we only have 20 days until the time is up. So the money will come through, but too late, or so it seems. Therefore, we need your help. So the second collection today will be taken up for the building fund. And we need at least $15,000 in it by tomorrow morning to be able to buy the materials that we need just to be able to meet the requirements of the county. And so, well, there are little extra exit signs, etc., etc., etc. Most of it is foolishness, but it needs to be done. And so we need your help. Please be generous. And our little emergency that's come up, always at the worst time. But as we study the history of Christianity, the worst time is the best time. And finally, a consideration of gratitude. Who has received the greatest gifts of all in the universe? The Blessed Virgin Mary. She was made the gift of the Mother of God, preservation of original sin from the moment of her conception. And if we can analyze her life through divine eyes, we will see that all of her life was simply a returning of thanks to her Son. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because He that is mighty has done great things unto me, and holy is His name. The Magnificat is simply a prayer of gratitude. And she was always giving thanks to her Son. And all that the life of this world is, the communication of love between the Mother and the Son. Between the Mother and the Son. Communication of love. Her giving thanks made her accept everything that He asked of her. And to spend her gratitude, her time in heaven giving thanks to God. In fact, that's what we will be doing in heaven. We will be giving thanks to God for all eternity for all that He has done for us. Not only the good things, but also the quote-unquote bad. So I'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.